The pen is mightier than the sword, and I'm ready to battle.
I may not have killed anyone, but bitch, I slay.
I knew it was going somewhere, and I was already overwhelmed. I just need to start with that. We were starting out at 11, and I'm really here for it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 500-something. I don't know. Leave me alone. And I'm so excited for this return guest as we continue our tradition of me asking this person to record about 15 seconds before we actually do. And I love that continued journey for us. So welcome back to Andy's Girls, founder and president of the Real Housewives Institute, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Housewives, The Real Story Behind the Real Housewives, Dame Brian Moylan. Mr. President, how are we?
I'm so good. I don't know what's worse, that you never have anyone to record with at the last minute, or that I never have anything to do at the last minute. And I'm always like, sure, girl.
Wait, so here's the thing. So this is like dead ass, because I would tell you, this is the dead ass truth, is I used to book like weeks and sometimes months in advance. And then I stopped doing that. And I have found myself, I don't know if it's like because I love the thrill of the rush or whatever, but I really do now. Honestly, not at all points, but at many points, I'll finalize the recording like shortly before, because I'm so blessed to have a bunch of people who I love, whose opinions I respect, who I want to talk to. So it's not that anyone fell through. I am just truly that unprofessional. And so I literally was like, what kind of energy do I just personally, selfishly need in my life? And I thought, Brian Moylan's the one.
I'm here for you. I am here for you. And can we talk about a scripted television program for a moment?
Ew. What? The Super Bowl? What?
No. Ew. No. Please. I did have to rank the halftime show. That was like plenty.
Which you did for Vulture, right? Where people.
Which I did for Vulture.
Okay, great.
Yes. Every year I'm like a Housewives and Super Bowl halftime show expert, ? Have you heard of the show Escort Boys that's on Amazon?
Wait, now I'm just I have it, and I'm also remembering that you are the person who introduced me to Love Island. So I am ready for whatever journey you're about to take me on. So tell me about it.
Escort Boys is a scripted television program about a gentleman who lives in the French countryside, and to save the family honey farm, he and his friends become escorts.
He himself becomes a honeypot. Look at him.
He himself becomes a honeypot. And it's like, I was watching it last night being like, oh, I have to talk to Sarah Galley tomorrow. And I was like, she should know about this show. Because it's like both terrible and wonderful at the same time. Like, it's so dumb and it's so badly acted and it's like dubbed into English. But also the guys are so fucking hot and it's so raunchy and like campy and amazing. If next time you need a break from the Housewives, go check out Escort Boys. That's my gift to you today.
Is that like the Netflix show? I think it was during COVID. Everybody was obsessed with it, and it was just like a woman fucking, like she was like with her maybe husband or somebody, and then somebody else, and then she had to choose between like which fuck she liked more.
Kind of, but it's like more naked dudes.
I mean,
and the guys are like really hot. I also watched the first episode of Summer House last night.
Oh, and how was that without breaking the embargo so that Bravo doesn't murder us? How
without breaking the embargo, there's a new gentleman named West in the house, the hottest. Like, and even the girls in the house are like, oh, yeah, Wes can fuck. And I'm like, yes, Wes can fuck. He's like, oh, he's perfect. He's like a blonde Brock Shea, Sheena Shea's husband.
Oh, and we think that's a good thing. Like,
I think that's a good thing.
Is he dumb or are we just talking in looks?
I'm talking in looks. I don't think he's as dumb as Brock, but and he has like swag. So he's like a little bit bigger and blonde and has a mustache. And you're just like, yes, West, take every morsel.
So can I ask you a question? Because I think it's going to be potentially a hot season for the Bravo community to discuss on social, let alone have opinions about on the DL. What is your current feeling about Carl and Lindsay and the, you know, ever evolving or ever the different opinions that they both are expressing about the dissolution of their relationship?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen anything but the first episode, and they, spoiler alert, they don't go to the house the first weekend, so they're not in the house, so they don't really play a prominent role yet in the first episode. So this is based on nothing I've seen so far, but I mean, we've seen Lindsay in enough relationships to know how Lindsay is in a relationship. And based solely on that, I'm saying Carl bullet dodged is what I'm saying. And I feel like the season is really just gonna show us exactly that.
So you moderated the Summer House panel at BravoCon. You did such an exceptional job. It was also not to, you know, potentially freak out prior to the panel, but I'm pretty sure I did say something to you along the lines of like, this is going to be the most intense panel that everyone's going to be watching aside from Scandoval. Like, this is truly like the must-see TV of IRL events. If you had a question that you could ask either of them now, is there something that comes to mind that you didn't necessarily know then?
I don't think so, just because I feel like the great thing about these shows is we get to see what happened and like make our own judgments, you know? And yes, it's produced and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think we both know that enough of it is real that we're going to get a chance to see it. So I feel like I might have more reunion questions for Carl and Lindsay, but I feel like I asked everything I wanted to at the panel, which is just like, how are you guys doing? How are you getting through it? You know? So I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the season with Carl and Lindsay. And I'm wondering where you're at with Carl and Lindsay heading into the new season.
I am curious as to what we are going to see about their relationship and how much of a surprise this will be to Lindsay when it all falls apart. Like, I wonder for Lindsay, it could genuinely, you know, like Carl's been saying things of like, you know, it shouldn't have been that much of a surprise. We were going through stuff. And I just think for Lindsay, it's possible it could genuinely be a true shock, because I think her barometer for being in sort of toxic or stressful relationships or dealing with things that you probably should be taking a closer eye at of like, should we really be doing this, is it's probably not in line with Carl's measurement. And I think Lindsay has an established history of engaging in a certain way and behaving in a certain way in relationships that I would think, and it's not entirely her responsibility, but just to say, like, I just think she thinks of things as like, quote unquote, normal that ideally are not. So I think I think they both might be right in how they encapsulate the breakup in terms of like, she could, I think, genuinely say, this was an absolute shock to me. How dare he? And I think he could genuinely say, I can't believe she didn't understand that this wasn't going to be able to move forward because of what we were dealing with at the time.
No, I totally get what you're saying in that, excuse me, that, yeah, they can both be right in their perception of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I mean, it never seemed like that great of a union ever. to me.
Yeah, I mean, was it last season that I only saw the reunion of? There was like some recent season where I was like, this is not good TV and I don't feel like I need to force myself to watch this thing that I'm not enjoying. It felt like they really were, their love was always at an 11, and I think that's sort of a warning sign, but their response seemed to be, well, we've been best friends for so long, why can't we immediately say that each other is the one? And there is an argument there that I understand. I just think, I don't know. I think with like, and his sobriety and her returning to drinking and her behavior when she was drinking, I just think from a lifestyle perspective, it just, the timing was truly not great.
I get all of that. But what I do like about Summer House, as opposed to a lot of the other shows, is you can tell these people are actually friends and hang out and spend time with each other, and that a lot has passed since last time they filmed. Whereas with The Housewives, sometimes it feels like, oh, girl, I haven't even talked to you since cameras went, you know. I talk to you when we film and at reunions, and that's it, you know? And so that's what I like about these younger shows like them and Vanderpump. Like, you can tell they're really legit. And so Carl and Lindsay have been going through a lot. I mean, they only film like 2 months a year. So they got 10 months of shit that we're not even seeing. So I am excited to catch up with my television friends. I love Summer House so much. Even when it's bad, it's good. I love it.
Well, I think that's good. I think it's good to like have a relationship with a show like that where you can sort of understand and almost even respect the lows that come with the highs, because how else can you appreciate these really great moments, including, I guess, the breakup of two people who they thought they were going to get married. You get to watch that on television. What a high for us and everything
well,
else.
Well, I was saying this about Drag Race, in that Drag Race. Do you watch Drag Race?
I don't. I've seen like maybe two All-Star seasons and maybe another one, but I couldn't tell you anything that happened on anything.
Well, the thing about Drag Race is that the queens are now all at a certain level where it's fairly consistently like good, you know, like it's always of a certain quality. Like, it never gets better. It never gets worse. It's always just like Drag Race. And what I love about the Bravo shows is, and this is a quote from you in my book, is that, like, you know, you have to weather the bad to get through the good. But even when you're weathering the bad, like, you know, there's an amazing season coming eventually. And so I do like that kind of ebb and flow we get with natural real life, where some seasons are good, some seasons are bad, but you go through the bad ones to get to the great ones, you know?
Okay, so that's a perfect transition in my head to Vanderpump Rules, because I was out of town last week and they don't have Bravo in Rhode Island. Just kidding. I just like didn't want to watch for a couple days. So I just watched the last week's Vanderpump Rules this morning. And I'm curious for your reaction to this sort of, I don't know, kind of like Scandoval companion piece, which I think is what this season is going to be. Like, are you enjoying watching it? What's your exhaustion level and your interest level?
It's interesting because I think we're seeing with a lot of fans and, you know, commenters on my recaps that I'm reading on Twitter, people like, oh, they need to get over it. Ariana needs to get over it, blah, blah, blah. When, you know, this is just what we're seeing currently was filmed just a few months after the whole scandal broke. So obviously, I think it's, you know, last year it was as intense for them as it was for us, because we were all going through it at the same time. And now we're on like different schedules. So I think that things are more intense for them in the moment than what we're feeling watching it, which I think is a disconnect. But also, I it's hard because it's never going to be as good as Scandoval, right? But I think that Scandoval made the show turn a corner where they're now all so much more popular, and there's no more pretending that these people are anything but reality stars. And so you're saying, like, seeing James be like, I can't go to that event because I have a sold out show tonight, you know? Ariana's like, Tom's not here. He's filming this other show. And we know Ariana's about to go into Dancing with the Stars. So it's like everything's on a different level. And I'm enjoying that level of like, what's a reality show about reality stars like? And it's this season of Vanderpump Rules. And I'm enjoying that at the moment. Am I going to enjoy a whole season of that? TBD.
It is a little like, and no disrespect to RuPaul's Drag Race, but it is a little like All Stars. It's a little RuPaul's Drag Race, yes. All Stars. Like, these people have become personalities in a way that is very different from how I at least viewed them prior to Scandoval, because they've just erupted into the kind of greater pop culture universe.
Yeah. And it's interesting, like, seeing them all deal with this traumatic thing that happened to them.
I found myself distracted at points when it came to like watching the show and thinking about producer involvement, because there were just elements where I was like, this feels flawed in a way, not flawed, but it just felt, I don't know. Maybe it's because we were riding so high and so hard off of the Scandoval. We were seeing these people react in real time, going on Watch What Happens, you know, Instagram stories, send it to Daryl, like all that shit. Everything was going, yes, viral, and a lot of it was based in genuine reaction. And then I'm watching DJ James Kennedy accept Tom's invite to his birthday party because he's like curious about what the guy has to say. And then watching Schwartz attempt to say that there's tension between him and Sandoval, which, like, I wish was true, but don't fully believe. And I'm just watching these moments and I'm just thinking to myself, like, it feels like there's other narrative help here from production.
Yes.
It does not feel organic. And that is kind of what I'm either distracted by or just simply focused on.
No, agree. Like Lala in the alley sending Rachel a voice note. It's like, yeah. And that's the thing is, and I have always chalked it up to Lisa Vanderpump's involvement, is that there is a fakeness about Vanderpump Rules that you don't see on the other Housewives shows. And I think that last season was A, so good, and B, I think they were editing it knowing what the end point was, which was Scandoval. And so I feel like last season, they didn't need all that fakery. Like, the thing I always remember is when Lisa made Tom pay her in ones for like his steak in the bar. Do you remember this? And like, Tom came in with a suitcase of $1 bills to like give them to Lisa, you know? And it was like this whole hokey thing that they totally planned. And you're like, what the fuck? And because we had Scandoval, we didn't need any of that last season. Even if they did it, I don't think they were showing it to us. And now we're back to that Lisa Vanderpump meddlesome production. And yeah, and it's a little like, girl, we flew too close to the sun and now we know what this looks like.
I mean, speaking of things that are like fake and forced, there is something honestly interesting about watching Sandoval, because you would think that he would come into the season and want to perform remorse. And he truly has dug in his heels and, to me, does seem to genuinely believe that he is the victim of the Scandoval. Like, he genuinely,
yes,
is the victim of his own poor behavior and really, truly won't give an inch in any other direction. Like, not when it comes to the restaurant, not when it comes to Ariana. It's kind of fascinating to watch this man continue to reveal himself as just morally decrepit.
Well, it's also interesting to me, though, where like Tom Schwartz is like, oh, I didn't think Sandoval wouldn't be involved in the restaurant at all. And it's like, you all told him not to show up. Like, you told him he's not welcome here. And then you're like, oh, but I want you doing more. No, that doesn't make any sense. And I can see how, if you're Sandoval, how you end up being the victim in all this, because I think people are treating him really shitty. And it, like,
I'm giving eyes.
Some of that is deserved. Like, what he did to Ariana is bad, but like, and I think this happens to a lot of the reality people, is they get it so badly online that they can't separate that from what really happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but also alternatively, they get it so badly online that they use that as a reason to shield themselves from having to, you know, portray true ownership.
True, but I think that because of how badly they get it online, that's all they're considering. Like, they're just considering the, like, hate and death threats and kill yourself and whatever that they're getting, then they can't think about what they actually did to get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the same thing happened to Erica. Erica was like, you're being so mean to me. I can't think about what I'm doing because I'm thinking about what you're doing to me.
Yes, which is a genuine, honest reaction that a person can also subvert and use as a form of manipulation to, you know, delay any kind of understanding of accountability or other people's pain. Because if we're only listening to the trolls and these terrible things that no one should ever be sending, let alone receiving, you can use that as the shield of like, well, everybody is coming at me this way. Or because people are telling me that I'm a cunt or whatever, I don't need to focus on anything else. Like, you become the victim in whatever way you would like. Some of that might be genuinely based on reality, but there are other elements at play here that I think end up sort of defending that person who I think deservedly should be in the hot seat. Like, you can't say because people are saying terrible things, I shouldn't be in the hot seat at all, which I think is what Erica is saying to Garcelle and Sutton right now, which I am not into.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. believable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to THEOUAI.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's THEOUAI.com with promo code Andy. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging.
I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think that either Sandoval or Erica is like using, especially Sandoval is thinking like, oh, this is my way in. Like, now that people are mean to me, I'm going to use this as a strategy, you know, or I'm going to use this as a shield. Like, I don't think that there's deviousness behind it. I just think it's their kind of reaction to getting this outpouring of hatred from fans.
I agree with you when it comes to Erica. Like, I think that Erica's intent might not be to consciously say, oh, well, they're saying things about me, so I can use that. I do think there's some sort of like subconscious thing happening there at play. And I think regardless, the impact of what she's saying still matters. With Sandoval, I don't know. I honestly don't know if there isn't a part of him that is aware of what he's doing when he's doing it. Like, I don't want to give him that much credit of saying, like, these things are, I don't know. I do think he's caught up in his own web, but it's a web he created and continues to maintain.
But there was a moment in the first episode where all the girls are out at girls' night and, you know, and they're talking about, like, unpacking all of the manipulation that Sandoval did to them for all these years or whatever. And I think that Sandoval has given Sandoval a level of deviousness and agency that I don't think he's intelligent enough to accomplish. Like, I just think that he's kind of an asshole who's like stumbling into these things. I don't think he's smart enough to be like, well, if I tell Ariana this, then this is going to happen. You know, I think he's just like stumbling into this.
I completely understand that. I really do. What do you think of Ariana's decision to say, you know, you can go fuck yourself. There's not going to be a birthday party here.
I thought that the place they got to eventually was the right place to be, which is if they're gonna decide, make the decision to continue living in this house together, it's gonna take compromises from both of them. So, and Ariana was gonna be at goth night anyway, or emo night. So it was like, why do you even care? So I would have been like, okay, well, I'm going to emo night. So as long as everyone is gone and the house is clean by one when I get home, that's fine. But like, I don't think she could be like, no, you can't have a party here, but also still be there and also call the cops. Like, you're going to call the cops on a noise complaint in your own house. Like, come on. Like, let's get serious. Like,
I honestly didn't know that was a thing that you could do if it's in your own house. I mean, I guess anybody I don't think you can do anything. But I don't know that that's a thing. I don't know that that, because it's like, who is this? I would think whomever answers is like, LOL, tell the person that's on you. Like, this is your house.
It's like, imagine calling 911 and being like, oh my God, it's so loud. My own stereo is so loud.
That's not great. That's not a great. It's not a great use of resources. It's not ideal.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, like, I get it. And, but also, I mean, at some level, they're each choosing to continue to live in this house together for whatever reason, justified or otherwise. But this is a choice that they're making. And if you're making that choice, you have to deal with the consequences. And that is, like, you need to be a decent person.
Yeah. And I think the problem here is that Ariana keeps expecting Tom to be decent. And he's telling her repeatedly he has no interest in it. And he's going to be, I think Tom is going to be aggressive and Ariana is going to be passive aggressive. And that's where I genuinely appreciated the kind of like meet that she had with Lala, who was, I think, essentially saying like, this man is getting off on making you uncomfortable and you are playing that game with him. So if you want to continue to attach to that, some of this is you need to think about your reactions.
But I think the opposite is also true. I think Ariana is also getting off on the ability to treat Tom like shit. Like, I think Ariana is enjoying this level of revenge that if you're in a normal couple that's not on reality television, she would have broken up with him and never talked to him again. And like, but she can't do that for a number of logistical and show business reasons. And so I think that in lieu of I'm never talking to you again, she's like, well, then I'm gonna torture you forever. And everybody will have my back because what you did to me was so bad. I can do whatever I want to you and it's justified.
And there is something to be said for like, whatever legal and financial advice she's been counseled of, you know, that people say, her team essentially saying to her, don't leave the house, because when it comes to this fight, we don't want you to be in a position where you can't claim equal ownership, which I think is also balanced and countered by the fact that like, he didn't give her a single moment of peace when she, after she found out he was fucking Rachel. Like, he never gave her, maybe for a night or two, he found himself with Schwartz or whatever else, but he never did the thing he was always upset at his friends for not doing. I don't know if I said that correctly, but like, he was really upset when his friends would cheat on their significant others. How dare they not move out? But then he's repeating that behavior. And the difficulty with all of this is, I totally understand that. I like understand the reasons why she is there, which you could balance with him making the same argument. But she's also saying stuff on top of that of like, it's not fair that he gets the house. It's not fair essentially that he wins. And I hope that one day she's at the point of thinking like, this isn't about fair. This is about moving on. Like, you really do need to disassociate from this man. And that means figuring out some sort of financial settlement that you feel like is fair, but understanding that a part of that is probably going to be him keeping the house, but you get to keep your life. I would argue that her life is so much more valuable and so much more.
Yes.
It's just, there's a worth there for her to invest in a new life and completely disconnect from him. And if he quote unquote wins by getting the house, he still has to be himself living in that goddamn house. Like, Valley Village is not Beverly Hills. Valley Village is not Malibu. It's Valley fucking Village. Like, I know it's your dream house, but this is not your dream man. That's enough of a win.
I feel the same way about what's happening with Lisa Hochstein currently on Miami, which is like, he's terrible. Get everything you deserve. It, you know, whatever. But also, you need to protect yourself. And like, at some point, your happiness and your sanity is worth a certain amount of money, you know? And like, if that means walking away from some of it, I know it's easier to say than to do, most likely, but you know, you need to, both of them, I think, need to take care of themselves at some point and be like, my sanity is not worth being right and getting the money and whatever.
And the reality is, in both cases, both of these women went through terrible breakups, both really public at different levels for different circumstances, due to different circumstances, but both found themselves seemingly in like significant relationships very shortly after.
Yes. Yes.
And yet, while Ariana is with her new boyfriend, I do believe that Ariana has found herself like an independent life, noting the house stuff, noting the Tom stuff, noting the fact that like, Lenny isn't on Miami, but Tom obviously is on Vanderpump Rules. She's carved out a life for herself and I think has found a worth for herself and meaning and money and is like doing these things to set up her future. And I don't see that from Lisa, but they're also very different people. So maybe I can't have that same expectation because Lisa genuinely might not be interested in that kind of life.
No, I agree with you. And it's interesting to me in that Ariana seemed to have found another man to for like comfort almost. And Lisa has found another man to continue the lifestyle that she feels like she's leaving behind. And I think that they have done the same thing for vastly different reasons.
Totally agree. And I also think that is a form of comfort for Lisa.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Of like, I knowing I'll still be able to buy Gucci bags if I'm fucking the world's mealiest Canadian.
I can't make heads or tails of Jody. I he seems like a nice guy. So like, that's great. But there's also...
He seems like a bag of flour with a face painted on it. That's what Jody seems like to me. If I'm being perfectly honest. Like, yeah, like I'm sure he's a nice, great guy who makes a lot of money and whatever. But like, he doesn't seem... And but I guess like, compared to Lenny, who is the opposite of that, maybe you want a bag of flour with a face on it for a while.
I mean, you want someone who you feel safe with. And I think she feels safe with him. The question for me is, like, does he feel safe with her? Like, does he feel emotionally protected and, like, comforted by her? Is that a realistic expectation? And, like, if it's not, how long is this Lisa going to be the Lisa that you're dating? Are we all hoping that Lisa will be a different Lisa? Like, what's that based on?
Yeah.
You met her at like the worst possible moment in her life. She's telling you and everybody else that like this is the darkest moment in her life. I believe her in that. But he's assuming that when she gets to the other side of this, if she's able to, that she is going to be the kind of partner that's like invested in him emotionally and is going to want to communicate with him in a way that, in his love language. And I just don't know. I don't know that he's ever seen that from her. I don't know that she has capacity for it.
Well, and it brings us back to what Heather Dubrow said to Gina at the beginning of last season's Real Housewives of Orange County when they were talking about her and Matt and Travis. And Heather Dubrow was like, you can't keep talking to Travis about this Matt stuff. And I feel like that is true with both Ariana and Jason and Lisa and Jody, which is, yes, you're going through this horrible thing. You want to talk about it with your partner. You want support from them. But at some level, because it has to do with the ex, I can see both those guys being like, I'm sick of hearing about this. I'm sick of talking about this. I'm sick of his decisions in your past relationship affecting my current relationship, you know? And I feel like the women in Miami are all right in what they're saying to Lisa, which is, yeah, Jody's being patient now, but you better fucking watch it because you're about to take it too far.
You mean Ariana and Daniel, right?
Oh, Daniel. I thought his name was Jason.
Daniel. I think it's Daniel.
Daniel. Sorry.
But no. I mean, we haven't really seen him. So like I think of him more as like a figment on Ariana's social than someone that we've really, really seen on the show. Which actually sort of, because we're talking about like breakups and relationships and everything else. Did you see this sort of breaking news? Alleged, we don't even know if it's confirmed. It hasn't been at the point in which we're recording this Monday morning, but Larsa and Marcus, rest in peace.
I mean, well, we've seen how Larsa was after 5 days away from Marcus. Maybe he just took too long of a bathroom break and she unfollowed him on Instagram and was like, oh, he hasn't been back in 23 minutes. It's over.
You know that your relationship is like kind of wild when Marcus posts like photos or Instagram stories of the fact that he's watching the Super Bowl with his family, including his dad. And people are like, oh my God, what a sick burn. Like, that's such a fuck you. This man is watching television with his family. If that is a fuck you to Larsa, and I don't honestly disagree with it, that has to tell you something about how long-term this relationship could be.
Yeah, but know what? I have a feeling that Larsa and Marcus are one of those like breakup couples. Like, we're going to get like 7 of these before the real breakup, you know? Like, oh yeah. Like, I feel like they're going to be mad at each other. And then in 3 days, they're going to refollow each other and they're going to be back together. And then 2 months later again. And yeah, we're going to have to go through this a bunch, I think, before we get to a place of we're finally broken up.
I mean, Larsa is not someone that I would want to upset. The way that she just unfollowed him and then took to stories and was like, should my friends follow my ex? I mean, it felt, he was still following her at that point. I don't even think he caught on until an hour later when he seemed to unfollow her. She removed every photo of him. Like, I don't know what happened, but it happened real fucking quick.
And I'm also not ready for Marcus Jordan to be gone from us, because I am going to admit I have a huge crush on Marcus Jordan.
You know what? He was really good on the Traders. I thought he was really good. He could have been great.
And he's just like big and has that deep voice and seems like really chill. I'm like very into Marcus. And so I don't want him to go back into entire obscurity. I don't know if I need him to keep dating Larsa, but like, I wouldn't mind if he was around. Get him on Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
And I also think, you know, listen, we saw a lot of him when it came to like him with Larsa. I need Larsa to fend for herself a little bit. I need Larsa to show up at events without a plus one. Same with Jody and Lisa, by the way. I need her to like activate. She has been using, or maybe she hasn't been using it, but the reality is that Larsa dating Marcus has resulted in Larsa not needing to really deep dive into some of the drama this season and some of the conflict and some of the relationships. And I don't love these Miami plus ones, because when we see the women all together, we get fireworks. And also, Larsa is able to communicate really effectively when she's put in a position where she sort of has to, where she's like, she's actively listening. She doesn't actively listen when she's with her boyfriend and the rest of the women. She doesn't need to, and I need her to.
Wait, does Larsa ever actively listen? Yes. I mean, come on. Larsa cannot hear a voice outside her own head. I'm sorry. Like, she is as self-involved as they come.
She might be self-involved, but I think she's able to tell Lisa when Lisa's fucking up. She's also giving Lisa good advice about divorce stuff, legal stuff that I don't think Lisa 100%. Has listened to. Like, is Larsa self-involved? Yes, but that's not all of Larsa. Is Larsa an asshole? 100%. Did Larsa fuck up with Gertie? Absolutely. Am I expecting Larsa to own up to any of that? 100% I am not. But also, in addition to that, the right. thing that makes her like interesting to me on Housewives is that like she is also smart. She's like, she's emotionally intelligent at some things yes. and really not at others.
And we saw that on Traitors in a way like we've never seen it on Housewives, where it was like, oh, Larsa might be paying attention more than we think. And yeah, and I was very impressed with her on the Traitors. And I mean, she's a great villain. Like, she's just a terrible, awful person in a great way. So I don't want Larsa to like wake up and become well adjusted. God forbid. But, you know, yeah, it would be nice if Larsa would occasionally take some ownership, but I'm not holding my breath.
Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Erin and your life and mine.
I mean, the wonderful and infuriating thing is that, like, she won't. I am curious how she handles the Gertie of it all when it comes to the reunion. I'm assuming
yes,
not well, bitch, but like, would I be incredibly pleasantly surprised if she comes to the realization genuinely that like telling a group of people that someone else has cancer is incredibly violating and also like completely removes any ounce of control that Gertie had left in who she wants to tell her health news to. It is wildly inappropriate. And I do think Larsa's going to triple down. Is it possible she'll like come? I think Andy at that point, honestly, is going to be really important. I really do think.
No, yes. And I think Andy is going to need to be like, Larsa, she has cancer, because the crazy thing about Miami is they all fight the same way. Alexia, Lisa, Larsa, which is, I didn't do anything wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're the one who's wrong. I'm not wrong. You're wrong. And because of that, it makes it frustrating to watch these fights where no one ever thinks they're wrong. But yeah, I don't think Larsa is going to have, I can see like a PR person being like, Larsa, you need to apologize for the cancer shit. It's bad. But I can't see Larsa ever getting it on her, like understanding why it's bad on her own.
I don't think Larsa has people in her life telling her that. I just don't think she has those kinds of friends. I think it's like Teresa territory.
Yes. Yes. No, I think you're completely right. And I think the same is true of all three of those women, is that no one tells them they're wrong. And I think that that's their biggest problem, is that, like, you know, Marisol will tell Alexia she's wrong a little bit, but it's more like she has to go so far out of the way for Marisol to bring her back that it's not really meaningful.
So which show is really getting your attention? Noting that Summer House is on the horizon and everything else. Is there one franchise that's really owning your heart? Was it Salt Lake, which may its memory be a blessing this past season? What is it that you found really invigorates you or did invigorate you?
I mean, Salt Lake was so great. And also I have the bonus of I don't recap it. So I get to watch it like a fan and like pay attention and like enjoy it and make jokes about it with my husband the way housewives should be enjoyed. But the thing I perpetually do not understand is why more people are not watching Miami. Miami is the best we have to offer. It is so good. The cast is excellent. It's huge. It's diverse. We have a bunch of different women giving us a bunch of different things. We have our first ever cancer storyline with a housewife. I mean, it is kicking off in Miami. And the thing about Miami is it never gets too dark. Like, even when we're dealing with cancer and breakups and divorces and whatever, there's still a levity and a unseriousness about it that I find very refreshing. I just love watching Miami. And I don't know why everybody isn't more obsessed with it.
Yeah, and Gertie deserves like every ounce of credit that she isn't receiving for what she is going through in real time during filming and then
publicly.
I mean, like, not to discount, you know, Ariana's feelings, because it's not apples to apples, but like what Gertie is experiencing with like what Larsa did to her. And the fact that she is truly fighting for her life and you can't get out of this kind of circumstance, like, not that she wants to necessarily, but just to say, like, you have to deal with the bullshit and the insane fighting and conflict and figure out a way to just sort of remain in that, but hopefully disassociate with it. And you're also dealing with this tremendous health challenge, which is incredibly serious and very profound. So the fact that Miami doesn't feel too quote unquote dark is, I think, a credit not just to like Gertie's grace in all of this, but also to the enormity of how successfully she is battling so many different fights when it comes to fighting to protect her kids, fighting to protect her husband, who's seemingly an angel sent from heaven above, trying to find a place with these women, trying to get through the physicality of filming.
Yeah.
Like, there are days where I don't have cancer and I just want to like stay in bed where the world is just too dark, genuinely though. And it's like, this woman has every right to just kind of like turtle down and make her circle as small as possible. Because sometimes a small circle is incredibly important. She has to do the exact opposite because of her job and the way she's navigating it. People don't give her enough credit. They really don't. Everyone should be watching Miami and people should be throwing Gertie a fucking parade.
Well, and what I love about Miami is that there's always, whether it's Gertie's cancer, Lisa's divorce, whatever, there's always something that's so serious that when they have those stupid fights, like Gertie's listening to them fight about whether or not Anna should be in a brunch. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. It's so dumb. So it's like you have something to throw the dumbness into relief and for us to be like, oh, I'm glad they're having this dumb fight, but also this fight is dumb because Gertie's dealing with something real. That is cancer, and the rest of you are fighting about this. And so I think that it's good peaks and valleys that you get the real stuff, you get the dumb stuff, you get the real stuff making the dumb stuff look dumber, and you get the dumb stuff making the real stuff look realer. And I just love it all.
And it really is. It's such a good season. And this is the thing of like, I don't want to compare it to Vanderpump Rules because I don't think that's fair. But just to say that like last season was incredible and dealing with this like crazy stuff with Lenny and Lisa. And I don't even know that I had expectations for this season because I honestly have a lot of trust in Miami. But just to see how fucking entertaining the show continues to be, it's just so wildly good. And while I am a completionist with most franchises, not all of them, and definitely not non-Housewives, Bravo shows, if you want to start with like, see what the first run was, the first three seasons, right?
And three.
Then it was 7 year break.
Yeah. And the first one was like super short and was like a different show.
Right. Yeah. It was like the theme was like you go to each other's house and each person throws a dinner party. It was very weird. And you got to watch Marisol's then husband like saran wrap fish. Like it was put it in a Ziploc and be like, oh my God, I'm a chef. Like,
but you do get to see Larsa's original face.
Yeah, you get to see why Larsa was, to me, the worst, like, number one and done worst housewives of all time.
And terrible. Her
turnaround, she was so bad at her job, and it was so frustrating and infuriating to watch. And to see how Larsa has become just inherently watchable feels ungodly. Like, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable to me.
Girl, she went to Kardashian school and she came out a winner. Like,
I mean, in a way, more of a winner than they did, at least for us, because she's either willing to show us her flaws or completely unaware that they exist. And the thing with the Kardashians is they're overall, when it comes to like their TV, very, very, very aware, too aware. So the show, usually the interesting parts is like when they're coming to the realization that they're being too aware isn't good TV, and then it becomes good TV. So Larsa is like a fucking dove. I mean, she's just, she really is like a symbol of purity and goodness in the fact that she can be so incredibly unfortunate and ugly at points. I'm like, this is abnormal. People usually, you would think you would get cast for doing what Larsa does, but it doesn't usually exist. People typically change, or they camille, they get crazy PR counsel and do a total 180. And for Larsa to continue to Larsa is, I mean, what a shining star, genuinely.
Imagine if after 40 days and 40 nights of rain, that Noah, instead of releasing a dove into the new world, released a Larsa Pippen. Like, what that would have done to all of creation. I mean,
things that we, is she biblical? Are we saying that?
I sure am. See, that's the thing about Larsa is I cannot stand her, but I'm so glad I have her in my life.
And I like yell about her and screech and whatever, but I also kind of love her. And it's like maybe her old face was Old Testament and now we're in the new. Like maybe this is
her,
you know, face she's is my Haftorah portion. She truly is my Bat Mitzvah Haftorah, and we are truly blessed as a result. Listen, Dame Brian Moylan, we didn't even scratch the surface of Beverly Hills. So that's my way of saying I'm getting your ass back because you know I'm obsessed with you. You know I die
I'm obsessed with you.
Your book somewhere here in the clothis, the house, center, right in back of a candle with His Holiness St. Pedro Pascal, The Housewives, Brian Moylan. It is the ultimate book on all things Real Housewives and Bravo and more. And if you are interested, hopefully listening to this podcast because you like hearing about the psychology behind all of this, I mean, the book fully deep dives into that kind of ethos. And you created this universe in how we talk about housewives, how you write about housewives. So I couldn't more highly recommend that AGs buy it and read it. And not just because I'm at the very end.
You're not at the very end.
Save me three quarters through.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you so much. Dame Brian, can you tell the AGs where they can follow you on social, all that and more?
I am on all social media platforms at Brian J. Moylan.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. And guys, you can sign up for the Andy Scrolls Patreon at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Number one way to support the pod. Two bonus episodes going up this week. So Kiki or Yonder, I love saying or Yonder unnecessarily, at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Potomac, which I will be deep diving soon, and Beverly Hills, Miami. If you want to talk a little Salt Lake, I'm here for you. VPR. I am excited to read them. Please include your first name and town. They may be included in an upcoming Satchel Spectacular. And again, your satchels of gold are your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Bravo, Housewives, TV, and more. Thanks to Dame Brian for joining. Did I say Instagram at Dame Galley? I don't remember if I did. And listen, guys, we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.